Have you ever saved all year for that one family vacation and ended up stressed out about every single dollar?
Not anymore. Hi, I'm Mary Ellen.
And I'm Jo. We're two busy moms who have cracked the code on travel with points and miles.
We're here to show you how we turn everyday expenses into extraordinary vacations.
This is Wonderland on Points, where we share tips and tricks to help you earn free and deeply discounted travel.
Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to the Wonderland on Points podcast presented by Yahoo Travel. We are so glad that you are with us today. Today we have an interview with somebody who has been in and around the world of points and miles for a very long time. It is his full-time career. We have Kyle Olson with us. You can find him on Instagram at KyleOlson10. He's going to let you know all the other places that you can find him. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Good to be here.
We're so excited to have you here and dig into all of this, to dig into the world of status, to dig in a little bit to Frontier. Guys, this is going to be interesting because we kind of kick Frontier to the back burner. So make sure you stick around. We're going to talk about that a little because it sounded like you won a competition or a contest of some kind to get status. So that's really interesting, but we're just going to tease that a little and come back to it later. So stick around. But before we get into the meat of today's episode, tell us a little bit about you and your points and miles journey, how you ended up doing this as a full-time career. I think you're with CNN now. Is that correct?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Joe. And again, such a pleasure to be here with you both. I'm Kyle Olson, and I am the travel products editor over here at CNN Underscored. I've been in the industry of points and miles and credit cards and travel for more than a decade. The way that I originally got into this industry was from a very young age. My parents put a big emphasis on travel growing up, and being from San Francisco Bay Area, I had a cousin who lived in New York. And one of those flights that I took to New York, we went from San Francisco to Miami and Miami to New York. And I said to my mom, why did we go all the way down here to go up to New York? And I said, I want to plan these trips myself. And she said, fine, go ahead and do it. So with my mom's help at a very young age, back in seventh grade, I started my own travel agency. And throughout high school and into university, I was booking flights, hotels, cruises, and rental cars for originally family, then friends, teachers, and my business crew. When I was 18, I wanted to do more international, whatever that meant. And that brought me to American University in Washington, D.C., where I earned my degree in international studies. What was interesting is that, like so many students, during the coronavirus pandemic, I found myself back in my childhood bedroom with the dorms closed.
Yes.
And we were all itching to get out. There has to be some way to get out of our childhood bedrooms and back into some sort of normalcy. And that being in the industry, I thought about the hotels, which were empty. So I formed business partnerships with several different properties in the Marriott portfolio in Washington, D.C. to house students through the coronavirus pandemic.
Wow.
It was a really, really, really neat business. I worked closely with a Residence Inn property in downtown D.C. He offered me 30,000 Marriott points for each student that I brought in. And he told me if I filled a floor, 21 rooms, he'd comp my housing. And after maybe about 3 or 4 days of putting ads on Facebook and just talking to different friends, I got a call from the general manager and he said, Kyle, you haven't filled one floor, you filled 5 floors, and we have a wait list of 90 students. So
that's incredible.
So that was a very, very fun moment. One that was a lot of points, but two, it really showed me that there was a business here that met the needs of students, of the hotels. And I continued to do that throughout the remainder of the pandemic while I was in university, and ended up with 10 million hotel points, having housed 450 students in 21 different hotels throughout the Washington, D.C. area. When I graduated from university and I brought this story to the points guy, they hired me as their points and miles reporter.
On the spot, I would imagine.
And I had the wonderful privilege of working alongside some incredible colleagues over there, covering the ins and outs of the airline industry, the hotel industry, credit cards, and really traveling the world using those points and miles that I had earned from that business venture. And from there, my boss at the time, Andrew Kunesh, moved over to CNN Underscored, 6 months later, he brought me over to CNN. And for the last 2.5 years, I've been here at CNN with the dream job that 12-year-old Kyle traveling to New York would have only dreamed of.
This is an incredible story. I feel like we could just do an entire episode on your life story. They also should maybe make it into a movie. And I need to tell my eighth grader that she is slacking. Okay, yeah. I have
a 7-year-old. Seventh grade son. So we got to get these kids on it.
What are they even doing with their lives if they don't have travel agencies at this point? I'm a little disappointed at this, but oh my goodness, what a story!
Thank you. No, I'm flattered. I have to tell you, I feel that I've been very lucky to meet some really great people along the way. And I think one of the things that's really been at the forefront of my career has been helping others really enter into this space, because travel is very expensive. There's no way that my family would have been able to travel the way that we did if it wasn't through points and miles and credit cards. And really the goal of what I do now at CNN Underscored, and what we always face all of our work with, is helping readers navigate complex decisions to really give them the best opportunities to travel. Because truthfully, points and miles and credit cards, unlike opportunities, that just wouldn't be available without them.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. That's the heart of what we do here. It started out as a mission to help people and teach people, and it has grown. And it is close to our hearts when we can tell that that is people's mission versus just like, let's get in a luxury seat in the sky. Like, there's so much more to it. This is such an opportunity for so many who would not get to travel. We were one road trip a year family before this, and that is all the budget could sustain. So it is just, it's incredible. I know the audience really feels that too. So thanks for sharing a little bit about that and your background. Man, I really could just, I want to ask so many questions, but I'm restraining myself.
Well, today we want to get into airline loyalty, because you are an expert on that. You're an expert on so many things, as we already have found out, but you definitely are an expert in airline loyalty as well. You've done a ton of, you know, you have lived experience and you've done a ton of research. So let's start with, I know United has been shaking things up lately, okay? United just announced a lot of changes to their loyalty program, specifically around whether you have a United co-branded credit card or not. So you were a diehard United loyalist for years. So before we talk about their changes, let's pivot to American Airlines a little bit. You kind of switched your loyalty, from what I understand. What caused you to switch from United to more of an AA guy?
Yeah, thank you. It's a great question, Mary Ellen. And I think that there's so many interesting nuances to airline status and choosing the right airline. I can speak, of course, to my experience, bearing in mind that everybody has a different calculus on how they arrive at the right airline strategy. But for me, I think about my airline status journey back to when I first earned airline status, and I first earned Premier 1K status, which is the top published tier of the United Mileage Plus program, in 2016. And back in 2016, being a Mileage Plus member, I almost always received upgrades into first class. That was really, really special and a lot of fun. But during the pandemic, it was a very difficult time for lots of travel providers, and United Airlines was one of those carriers that really suffered from the lack of travel. So as a result, United did a few things early in the pandemic. And specifically around its Mileage Plus program. They spiked partner award rates by 10%. That was one of the first things that they did in 2020. And then what really happened, which was significant, was that in May of 2023, United devalued its award chart, its award program, by up to 122%. I was working for the points guy at the time, and with no notice whatsoever, award rates just went up, and they went up significantly. As I mentioned, some routes increased by up to 122%. One of the routes, which I had always booked a lot on the Mileage Plus program, was awards from North America to Europe. For economy class, those generally started around 30,000 miles, and they were spiked to 40,000 miles. For business class, those were from 60,000 miles to 80,000 miles. Around the same time, in 2022, I traveled on 52 eligible upgrade flights on United, and only 4 of those cleared into first class, and that was with top tier Premier 1K status.
Wow.
So huge change in the overall value that I was getting from my 1K status from pre-pandemic to post-pandemic. And it really left me wondering, is this the best place for me to be putting all of my airline business in? And at the time, American was doing some really clever things around loyalty points, which allow members to earn status entirely from non-flight activity if they want. And I really liked what I was seeing there. American also improved its relationship with Alaska Airlines to provide reciprocal elite status benefits. Specifically, what that means is that if you have status with American, you are entitled to perks like premium class and at booking and first class on Alaska Airlines based on your elite status tier. So when I entered into the executive platinum tier through a status challenge, which we can talk a little bit about later, I was given that top tier status with American right away and received incredible benefits on Alaska. And I overall have found, of course, it's, as I mentioned, it's subjective, but my upgrade clearing rate is significantly higher between American and Alaska as compared to United. And that really is what guides my airline status decision.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what are your thoughts on kind of this latest change that's emphasizing the benefits for the co-branded cardholders almost over the frequent flyers?
Yeah, for sure. So I will say this was not a big surprise for me. This follows a trend across the industry that the airlines are putting on to put a larger emphasis on co-branded card partnerships. So specifically what that means is that United really is deciding to reward its most loyal customers if they are cardholders. This is not the first time United has done something like this. A couple of years ago, they started to offer more advantageous award rates for its domestic economy cabin if you had a United card. And now, by revamping the entire way to earn miles and to give more miles to those who have credit cards and fewer miles to those who don't have credit cards issued with United, makes a lot of sense. Because those business partnerships, and especially that co-branded partnership between United Mileage Plus and Chase, is one that the airlines are putting a big emphasis on.
Let's chat about airline loyalty for people. So you obviously fly a lot. You do a lot of, you know, you fly around the world. You do a lot of across the U.S. from East Coast to West Coast. You're flying a lot. And so you get tons of value from having top tier status. What about people who just fly 3 to 5 times a year? Is airline status, is chasing that really worth it for them? Or is it better just to kind of be a free agent, look for deals here or there, upgrades here and there, but not really go all in on one airline for status? What do you think for somebody who's more of a, you know, everyone on this podcast loves to travel, but a lot of us have jobs that aren't remote. We have kids in public school. We just don't travel except for maybe 3 to 5 times a year. Is it worth it?
It's a great question, Mary Ellen. And I this is one that I've thought a lot about. And especially back at my and at the Points Guy, we were working a lot with readers who had this exact same situation. And luckily, there's a great option if you travel, as you said, like 3 or 4 times per year, but don't necessarily have what it takes to earn airline status. All of the major U.S. airlines in the United States offer, the U.S. airlines offer co-branded credit cards. And those co-branded credit cards provide entry-level benefits, which can almost mirror, and in some case, double dip from what you would expect from an entry-level elite status tier. So in the case of United Mileage Plus, if we think about what Premier Silver, that's their entry-level tier offers, and we juxtapose that in conjunction with what their entry-level United Explorer card offers, you find a lot of duplicative benefits. For example, both allow you to board in Group 2. Both entitle you to a complimentary checked bag. So a wonderful way, and I recommend this to a lot of readers, is if you don't have what it takes or you're not in a position to pursue airline elite status, it's to look at your airline's co-branded credit cards, and especially on the lower tier, not some of the high club cards, but some of the more entry-level cards, and take a look at those benefits. And that's a great way that you can start getting value and cost-saving benefits like complimentary checked luggage from your first flight with the airline.
Okay, we're going to get right back to today's episode, but First, we want to talk about one of our favorite partners, CardPointers. We've talked about them before. You know that we love them, but this new feature is 100% worth calling out because they have introduced AI integration, and it lets you interact with your credit card setup in a completely different way.
Instead of opening multiple apps, trying to remember what's on each individual card, you can just ask simple questions like, what card to use? What benefits are you about to miss? And it's going to respond using your actual cards, your offers, your credits. It's specific to you.
It turns strategy into something you can access instantly. You don't have to use any brain power. And for those of us that are moms or we have day jobs, we are short on the brain power. And you guys know we love CardPointers already for the things that it offers you. It organizes your cards for you. It keeps you on top of your annual fees. It auto adds your offers and so much more. So if you want to try CardPointers, make sure you take a look. The link is in our show notes. It gets you 30% off or the absolute best price if CardPointers is already on sale.
Yeah. And if you want to know all of the cool back history of CardPointers, we actually have a full episode that we did with the founder of CardPointers. He codes everything. He like built it from scratch based on all the pain points that people have in the points and miles world. So go back, find that episode. It is really cool as well. CardPointers.com/WonderlandOnPoints. Okay. Back to today's episode.
Obviously, we recommend some co-branded cards, although I want to remind, we've got newer listeners coming in here, so I want to remind people that we do recommend starting with a transferable currency card, just for my beginners out here, but this is definitely something to work into your strategy a little bit as you're kind of getting more into the world of points and miles, because there definitely are some things that come with the co-branded cards that can be a benefit to families for sure. Let's talk a little bit about airline alliances. When we say alliances, we're talking Oneworld, Star Alliance, SkyTeam. What is the impact of alliances on the value of your status? Like if we have gold status through American Airlines, how is that actually helping us if we're flying to Europe on British Airways? Explain that like you're explaining it to somebody very new.
Yeah, great question, Joe. So I think of elite status as a component into the broader alliance picture. So alliances, there are three, as you mentioned, in the world that are sort of the main alliances. You have Star Alliance, which United is part of. You've got Oneworld, which American and Alaska are part of. And you've got SkyTeam, which Delta is part of. And each of these alliances offer reciprocal benefits when you choose to travel with one of the alliance partners. So for example, I think, you know, one which is common is if you're an American Airlines traveler and you're traveling over to Europe on British Airways, both are Oneworld carriers and you can receive perks depending on your tier with American over on British Airways. So like what you know you would expect from the airline elite status, as you sort of work up higher on the spectrum of benefits, you begin to get more and more perks. And the same holds true with airline alliance elite status. So on the low end, you have some really basic perks. So for example, Star Alliance Silver, which is what is the basic tier of Star Alliance Elite status, which comes with United Premier Silver, this entry-level tier of United, really comes with very limited benefits. The primary benefit there is priority airport waitlist standby. So for instance, if your flight gets canceled and you're booked on another flight, you can get priority standby. It's a benefit that I've never used and I'd never expect to use. So as you begin to work a little bit further up the tier, you start to find benefits which come with lounge access and in the case of Oneworld, preferred seating on British Airways, and those can be really nice. So to give you an example, my American Airlines Elite Executive Platinum status comes with Oneworld Emerald status. And one of the perks of Emerald is the ability to access a first-class lounge, not business, but first-class lounge whenever you're traveling with a Oneworld carrier, and especially on itineraries that are outside of the United States. I used that in May when I was traveling in Southeast Asia. I was in Kuala Lumpur, and I traveled on an economy class ticket that I only paid $50 for from Kuala Lumpur to Singapore. But during my departure in Kuala Lumpur, I was able to access the Malaysia Airlines first class lounge, thanks to my American Airlines status. And that came with sit-down dining, really fantastic airport experience. There were showers, there were private servers with white tablecloth tables. It was a fantastic experience. Similarly, in December, I was traveling from Sydney to New Zealand, to Queenstown, New Zealand, and my American Airlines executive platinum status there gave me access to the Qantas first class lounge in Sydney, which actually has complimentary massages available.
Ooh,
so some really nice
now
perks.
We're talking.
Yeah.
I love a lounge. I am sold when it comes to getting better lounge access. That is something that definitely makes me want to pursue status. I have had a gold status. I really focused on it, just, you know, that's like basic, bare minimum status, but it actually has brought me quite a lot of benefits through something called status matches, and we'll get into that, I think, later, so I won't get into it now, but, you know, you've got me, I was okay letting it go for now, but now I'm like, you know what, I need to get back into it. I gotta work on getting my status back, because there really are some super fun benefits. But I am a family traveler, okay? I have a family of five. I travel with three kids. So when it comes to family travelers, which airline status, if I'm going to focus on an airline that's really going to give me the most bang for my buck, the most group value that I can really share with my entire family, benefits extending beyond just myself, but maybe everybody on my reservation, are there any standout winners of which airlines have that best status for families?
Great question, Mary Ellen. And I think that overall, family travelers find more value from the budget airlines in the U.S., and especially looking at Southwest and Frontier. But I want to talk about Frontier because I think Frontier has something very special for the situation that you mentioned. The airline offers something called a discount den membership, which right now costs $59.99 per year. I think there's a $40 enrollment fee, but with that discount den membership, kids can fly free under the age of 14. So that works on all Frontier flights. And you are able to bring a kid along with you for free on a paying adult fare. So that's a fantastic benefit. You don't actually need to earn any status. You don't have to open any credit cards. You can simply buy a discount den membership and you begin receiving those kids fly free benefits. Discount den also is a great program which allows you to save on Frontier fares. I find that it generally saves anywhere between $10 and $20 per person. And that price applies to everyone on the reservation. So a really great way to be saving money. Frontier and Southwest are both pretty liberal when it comes to extending benefits across everyone on your reservation. So you might find that if you, for instance, have a Southwest Airlines credit card that includes complimentary checked luggage, generally that would apply for everyone on your reservation. So not only do you as the card member get to bring a free checked bag along, but it could be that even your kids, who of course are far from card members, would be able to bring along a checked bag with them. So some really great cost-saving opportunities and especially, I think, benefits designed for families on both Southwest and Frontier.
Yeah, for sure. There are two things I want to ask about Frontier. With Southwest, you are right about the benefits for families. I really enjoyed having A-List for a small amount of time. That was a status match. Also from AA Gold, but it is nice, you know, to shorter lines, better boarding group, all that stuff when you have kids goes a long way. Do we know if it is under 14 or 14 and under? Very important question.
It's almost like someone has a 14-year-old.
Who could that be? I don't know.
So according to the Frontier website, it's kids 14 and under.
Yes.
And under.
She just turned 14. We got a little bit of time to take advantage of this. And then the second question is, did I or did I not see on your Instagram that you took a $19 flight? Because we don't do cash flights really here. We are, you know, we want zero out of pocket or as close to zero as possible. It's kind of the whole thing that we do. But I think we can all handle a $19 cash fare plus our kids coming free. Oh, and sorry, one more question. Is it like one free kid per paying ticket? Or if you have three kids, how does that work?
Okay, so some great questions. So first of all, maybe we'll finish up the kids paying question. So the way that Discount Den works is that you are able to bring along a free kid under 14 and under for each paying adult 18 and older. So if you're traveling, for instance, with your spouse, then the two of you could bring along two kids at no charge. I recommend checking the Frontier website to get the full terms on all of that, but that's a fantastic way to be able to, you know, bring kids along for dirt cheap, or in this case, free. So, so absolutely. With regard to Frontier, I have approached my travel very similar to the two of you, which is there's nothing better than not paying. We want to use points and miles across the board, wherever and whenever possible. But when I first found this Frontier Elite status and was introduced to the program, and now I've gotten to know quite well, having flown with Frontier about a dozen times, and I've got another roughly 12 flights in the pipeline in the next month on Frontier, it's a fantastic program. And I think I commend the entire Frontier team for really designing what they have gone off to do as a high-value airline. Frontier as a whole is a low-cost carrier. I find that the overall experience on board is a lot like what I found traveling across the pond in Europe on airlines like Ryanair and EasyJet. The standard tickets do not include advanced seat selection. They don't include a carry-on luggage. It's very limiting. However, the program, the Frontier Miles program, and this is where they really differ from Ryanair and EasyJet and from any of the other low-cost and ultra-low-cost carriers I've flown, is that it really has been designed to give members who are loyal to the airline great value. And Ryanair and EasyJet, as I mentioned, just don't have loyalty programs that offer the same. So it's a very cool program. I did fly for $19 from San Francisco to LA. I've also, another trip that I did was I brought a friend of mine over to Phoenix, and the two of us flew round trip for just $60. And that was for two tickets round trip. One of the really cool perks about the top two levels of their elite status, Platinum and Diamond Elite, is the ability to bring a complimentary companion along with you. So this is very different from Southwest's companion pass program, which it rhymes with. But the unique thing about Frontier is that they have designed this program not to be specific to one or two different members or three that you can rotate between, similar to what Southwest offers. It can be any companion. So Mary Ellen, if I want to bring you, you know, one weekend on a flight, it can be, you could be my free companion. And then Joe, the next weekend, it could be you. And there's no management required to have to change, you know, your companion. You simply enter in the other passenger's name, and Frontier Miles number, and you'll see that they deduct the fare, and that your companion only is left with the taxes and fees. So it's a really cool program. Again, thinking about ways to save on, you know, travel with family and with a larger group, it's the closest thing I've seen to a 2-for-1 program.
It's very enticing.
Okay, Frontier, you've got our attention. You've got our attention. We are going to be looking into this. And speaking of, you have to tell us, because you did make an Instagram reel about winning a contest, which is really what kind of got you into the Frontier program and utilizing it. What in the world was the contest? Tell us about it.
Yeah. So Frontier has done some really cool things in the last several years to bring in new elite status members into its program. And they have, in addition to being offering a recurring status match program, they did something also very cool just last week, where they came forward and they offered 5,000 miles to anyone who could just show that they had at least 5,000 miles in another airline account. So Frontier actually put out 70 million miles to various travelers. There was no cost to do this. You could just upload a photo of, for instance, your Southwest Rapid Rewards points balance to the Frontier website, and they'd go ahead and reward you with 5,000 Frontier miles. Speaking of which, I actually you booked a flight yesterday using those 5,000 Frontier miles.
Nice.
And it was from Dallas, Fort Worth to Ontario, California. Not a very exciting route, but the cash fare was over $150 and the points fare was 5,000 miles. So that's over 3 cents per mile, which is a testament to just how far you can stretch those Frontier miles. So in addition to it being a very easy currency to earn rewards with a little creativity, those Frontier miles can be worth a lot. And I'm especially looking over at Southwest and United to find another domestic 3 cent per mile redemption. It's very hard to find. So
yeah.
But yeah, one of the contests that they offered was something that I found recently. I was looking online at with my United status at the time. I was still a United Premier 1K, and I was able to go ahead and match right into the Diamond Elite program. And it was fun because when I did the contest, they asked me a few different questions about the Frontier fleet and like the type of planes that they offer. And of course, me being an Av geek, those are music to my ears. And
I've got this.
Absolutely. And I've been very happy with Frontier, and I plan to continue to fly them for many years to come.
Okay, I'm fascinated. But let's talk a little bit about the status and the perks that it comes with, and then tell us if there is a viable route at all for families to earn this kind of status. I know that they do a lot of promotional stuff, so maybe there's an opportunity for a match at some point or for a contest or something similar, but I just want to know if this is actually something that those of us budget travelers can potentially attain, because I think a lot of us can make it into American Airlines status just because of the shopping portal and the creative ways you can get there. I'm not so sure we can do it just with plain spend on a card or flights or anything like that. So walk us through that path a little bit.
Absolutely. So one of the neat things about Frontier is that they have designed the program to go ahead and give you value from day one. And again, I just want to speak bluntly. I'm not employed by Frontier or incentivized by Frontier. I'm only speaking about my own experience flying the airline and as one who's been covering the industry for roughly 15 years and how I'm so impressed with the airline. So one of the neat things about Frontier, as we mentioned, is that they offer frequent status matches and status challenges. So if you are already a member of, say, American Airlines Gold Advantage program, you can go ahead and match into Frontier Elite status. And generally, that will be possible, so you don't have to start from the bottom. The other thing, which is a great way to do it, is to actually apply for the Frontier Airlines World MasterCard. Generally, as both of you said, I'm not thrilled about co-branded airline credit cards. But in this case, the benefits are really strong, and I think they certainly outweigh you know, the annual fee, which, by the way, is waived the first year, and then is $99 per year after that. The key is that you, if you apply for the card and are accepted, you receive instant gold elite status, which is the mid-tier level of Frontier. It's not silver, but gold. So that's already massive. That would be the equivalent of basically United Airlines offering on their lower-end credit card instant premier gold status, which would be like the mid-tier. That just it would be unfathomable. And Frontier is offering that. That gold status kicks in after any purchase in any amount within the first 90 days of account opening. So now you've got gold elite status with Frontier. And that's really cool. So that basically gives you several perks. Like it gives you a carry-on bag when you travel on Frontier. The benefit is only available for you, not on the others on your reservation. But one of the benefits that does work for everyone on your reservation are no change and no cancellation fees, as long as you're making those modifications at least 7 days before departure. So really neat. Another fun benefit that they offer is family pooling. So if you're traveling with, say, a spouse or, you know, kids, you can pool all of your miles into one account and you're able to use those freely. Gold members are also entitled for the member themselves to a standard seat at booking, which actually can go all the way up to like a preferred seat. Then you're able to move into a premium seat, which would be like an exit row at the time of check-in. And then you're even eligible for complimentary Upfront Plus within 4 hours of departure. You just have to change on the app. And what Upfront Plus is on every Frontier flight, the first two rows of the economy cabin are specifically designated as Upfront Plus. If you've ever flown business class in Europe, it's basically a blocked middle seat. So you get an empty middle seat, and then the flight attendants generally close off those overhead bins in the first two rows to save space for you. There's a whole bunch of other perks as well, like Group 1 boarding, but that's a great way to get into the Frontier program through the Frontier credit card. Just from day one. And again, that card has no annual fee for the first year. It also comes with a whole bunch of other perks, like 50,000 miles on the card once you apply. And I think you just have to make, it's $1,000 in purchases within the first 90 days. So it's a very approachable, very manageable way to get into the Frontier program.
Hey, everybody, we will get right back to today's episode, but we wanted to remind you that Yahoo is the presenting sponsor of this podcast, and we are so incredibly excited about what we're building together. The Why Wonder newsletter is written twice a week by Mary Ellen and me, and it's a voice for travelers who want more value, and that's what we're all here for. Families, couples, retirees, anyone who wants to stretch their points and miles further.
We'll share practical points earning strategies, breaking travel news, tips and tricks, and the best travel articles we can find so you can stay up to date. We'll also be covering the latest developments from Yahoo Travel that listeners of this podcast would love. So strap in with us and keep on traveling more for less. Sign up for the Why Wonder newsletter at travel.yahoo.com or in our show notes. Okay, back to today's episode.
Raise your hand if you never thought you'd be considering a Frontier credit card ever in your whole life. I cannot believe that. My brain is even, I can't fathom it. But it's, there's actually some, especially hearing you just booked that 5,000 point flight, and I'm a little upset with the new Southwest boarding. I feel like we've all been looking for ways to circumvent Southwest after our companion passes expire. So I don't know. I'm interested.
Yeah, we don't have to be bougie over here. Bougie people, bougie travelers, y'all just go ahead and roll your eyes all you want. But us budget folks are going to take Frontier seriously now because this is some great info. I want to talk about status in general again, kind of broaden back out to all status. I'm just curious because you've done this and you've held status for a long time with different airlines. Have you ever chased a status that you regretted? Because when I made that decision to chase AA, even just very meager gold status, I had to go all in. I don't have massive spend. I had to really focus on it and decide, okay, for the next 6 months or so, I'm going all in to try to get some level of AA status because I think it will be worth it. But I was worried. I was like, am I going to regret doing this, you know, looking back? So what about you? Is there any status run that you did that you're like, I don't know if that was worth it?
It's a great question, Mary Ellen. And I always tell readers, one of the first things that you have to do before pursuing any airline status is you need to make sure that it fits for you, because it doesn't have to be a lose-lose or a lose-to-win. We want to make sure, no matter what you're doing, that you're finding a path for your elite status that doesn't make you go significantly out of your way. And the key there is really where you're not spending a significant amount of money additional to earn that status. So, the other thing to keep in mind is when you are doing these airline status matches or challenges, a lot of them have terminology or limits in the terms and conditions that only allow you to do that maybe once every 3 years, or in some cases, even once per lifetime. So the answer that I would tell you about, are you going to regret it, is make sure that if you're going to do a status match and challenge, that you're serious about it, because you don't want to use your one in maybe 3 years or maybe once in a lifetime opportunity to go toward, say, Southwest, and then you don't hit it. And then you don't have that opportunity again in the future. So that's, I think, really the key.
Let's talk a little bit about status matches. Is there any place on the internet that's a great place for people to find out about these? Is there some great website? Do you post about them, you know, in your writing? Because I can't tell you how many times that I have heard of a status match that I could have taken advantage of, and now it's over and I never heard about it in time. So I want people to be able to take advantage of these if it's a good fit for you, just like you said, because that is very, very important. Just like with everything, opening new cards, everything else, you got to have a plan. Don't just be doing things willy-nilly. But where is the best place for people to learn that these are going on?
Yeah, I think the best way to approach where to find the best status match starts with thinking about what airline are you interested in. In the case of Frontier, I might not have considered it, so this could be maybe not the right approach in that case. But regardless, I think the best way to do it, because there's so much information that changes, is really going to be directly on that airline's website. So if you search for, say, Southwest Airlines status match, and then take a look and see if they have an open status match open and available to you. You can read all about it. You can take a look because there will often be a flight requirement. You will have to do a certain amount of flying or spending within a certain amount of time, and you want to make sure that that's right for you. So I think it's good to regularly be looking at, keep your eyes on what airline you might be interested in, and then consulting with their website directly to make sure it's the right fit for you.
Okay, I have another fun question. I hope it will be fun. Give us something good, Kyle. Okay, what is one hot take that you have about the airline loyalty industry that might surprise listeners? Because you know a lot. You got a lot of insider info. What's something that would surprise us? Give us your hot take.
Okay, so this is a hot take, and actually one of my friends, whenever we travel on this plane, gives me a hard time about it. But I've got to say, if this is, forgive me for nerding out over this, but I'm very much one who enjoys to track the actual aircraft that I'm with, not only the type of plane, but actually the same tail number to see if you're flying on that plane repeatedly. And one of my favorite aircraft out there is the Boeing 757. Now, what is the Boeing 757? It is a plane that was originally designed in the late 70s and early 80s, and the plane is still being flown by two airlines, by United and Delta in the United States. The plane is it's a single aisle aircraft, but one of the really cool things about it is that you board through door two in most cases. So that means that on a single aisle aircraft, if you're traveling up in first class, you can turn left, which is a very cool and fun thing. I also think that the plane has some like 1980s and 1990s charm to it, sort of some old school charm.
Ashtrays.
ashtrays, blue water in the toilets. But there's some glamour from the glory days of travel, which is still evident on that aircraft. And again, you can travel on it still on United and on Delta, and you often find it on transcontinental flights.
A vintage man that. With an old soul.
This is, my grandma used to tell me that like going on a flight used to be a whole to-do. Like they would get so fancy. They would buy a hat and gloves very specifically for their air travel. I mean, I just kind of wish it was still like that. But it sounds like this takes you back a little bit to those days when you got all fancy to, instead of looking homeless, which is how I look on every single flight that I
Joe, on. Let's be like your grandma on our next girls trip. We're
going to
get hats.
On our way to Albuquerque, I'm getting a hat.
Yeah, you know, I love any excuse for a hat.
On it.
Kyle, thank you so much. Before we let you go, it sounds like you're traveling every single week on points. So I was going to say, where are points and miles taking you next? But I think they take you somewhere almost every day. So tell us the next fun vacation you have with points, not just work travel or something like that. What's the next big points and miles trip that you're excited about just for fun?
I have to tell you, I just got back from an incredible trip around the world on points and miles, entirely in business and first class. Ooh. So I will speak to this one
A&A?
Because it was a huge redemption. Actually, Singapore Airlines. I traveled going over to Singapore and then on the Airbus A380 on Singapore Airlines in first class. I'm telling you, it was never a flight like I've ever experienced, Joe and Mary Ellen. I mean, it was absolutely insane. You board right up to the upper deck. There are six suites on the upper deck of the Airbus A380. That's the largest plane in the world. And I was in seat 1A. It's about, I think it's like 54 square feet in total in size. And there's actually a separate bed from the seat. How did I book this? Well, it wasn't through cash, as you both already figured out. I transferred Capital One miles to Singapore Airlines Kris Flyer. It was steep. It was almost 100,000 miles, but for the six-hour flight to New Delhi and for the experience of traveling in Singapore Airlines first class with caviar and a full lobster thermidor, it was absolutely worth it.
Okay, like I'm not bougie, okay? And I don't need this stuff all the time. But once in my life, I would like to try that. It sounds fantastic. Mary Ellen does not like lobster.
I mean, I'd be like, are there chicken fingers on the menu? Also, that's the thing about me with the first class. I want to do it. I love the beds. I love the lie flat seat. But I have such a childlike palate. I'm like, what am I going to eat on these fancy planes?
Oh, well, at least you could take a nap. All right. Well, before we let you go, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you? Where can they read your writing? Where can they follow you on the internet? We want to make sure that they are connected to your wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, thank you. The easiest way to find my writing is going to be just to type in my name, Kyle Olson, CNN, and you'll find my author page at CNN underscored. And I do post reels to my Instagram on flight reviews and just travel experiences all around the world. And that's at Kyle Olson 10 on Instagram.
Perfect. I'm going to link all of that in the show notes, so it's really, really easy for people to find you. Thank you so much for giving us your time today. This was really interesting.
Thank you so much, Joe. And thank you so much to Mary Ellen. It's really a pleasure speaking to you, and happy to talk anytime.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back.
The pleasure is awesome. Ours. All right, everybody, find us online, find us in the Facebook group, and we hope to see you there. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to plan your next trip.
Remember, we're travelers sharing our experiences, not financial advisors. So always do your own research and make informed decisions.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a Points and Miles tip.
We'll see you next time on Wonderland on Points.